Let me double check the audio. Okay, we're good.
Cool. Well, I guess Beans had enough of us.
Pretty much.
No Peaches today.
She's scared.
Yeah.
It's all you?
No, I'm going. This is it.
Oh, shit.
So I guess you probably have heard the Eagles, even if you don't know who they are.
Is it one of those where if I heard the song, I'd be like, yeah, I've heard that.
Maybe.
Hmm.
They were in a lot of movies and shows.
Hmm.
They had a new record come out this past year.
Still around? How far back do they go?
I think like early 90s.
Okay. So
One of their big hits was one of the songs I was going to talk about.
Hmm.
So I kind of wanted to frame this as like they're a band who've written a lot of things, some of them serious, some of them not, some of them for movies, some of them for themselves.
Got it.
They've done some covers too, I believe, but they are really good at oscillating between those two things.
Okay.
And the singer Mark Everett, his father was a famous scientist.
Mm.
So he had a really interesting life, but the more serious one, I guess we can start with that, Novocaine for the Soul, is like, I mean, it's a pretty simple song.
You mean lyrically, like simple, or?
Yeah. Their kind of format is rock. But it's just such a powerful song. Like, the composition of it, too, is really interesting. Like, it's like, starts out really slow and kind of somber. Has a build to it.
Okay, so it's not just like a static, like the whole way through the song. It goes up and down.
Yeah, it goes up and down. But it's like either very like kind of sad and powerful, or like rocky and powerful.
Got it. But always forceful in that way, right?
Yeah, like the opening lyrics are, life is hard, so am I. You better give me something so I don't die.
I mean, that's pretty hard. That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing Novocaine, or you want Novocaine, that's...
Yeah.
I feel like how you feel.
Well, you said they were straightforward, and there it is.
Yeah. But again, like, that's the main chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end of the song is just like, before I sputter out, is like the last kind of like refrain that he keeps saying.
And then before I sputter out. And then
And there's a lot of cool guitar work in there and stuff.
Oh, nice.
But it's fun to like hear a song like that from a group, and then at the same time, the other song I have is Saturday Morning, which is just like about Saturday morning and how much it rules.
Is like, this like an opposite in a way from the prior song we were talking about? Like, you're kind of showing the two ends of this band.
Yeah, I would say so, because Novocaine for the Soul is also a really early song.
Okay.
Saturday Morning's like a later song.
Okay.
Not super late, but like, I feel like the more... Like, the later records all have this kind of, like, rock and roll vibe to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where they almost kind of just want to make a good rock album every time.
Yeah.
And this one, like, it's literally just about Saturday morning. It has more lyrics to it, honestly. But, like, yeah, like, the parents are sleeping soundly. The neighbors are dead as wood. I'm getting up and coming over. We're going to rock the neighborhood.
Like, that's, yeah. I like it. It's catchy and, like, you're right. Like, it's brutally catchy.
Yeah, where it's, and it's, like a rock song.
You couldn't remove a single word from any of that and retain the meaning. It's like perfectly efficient.
And I think people call him colloquially Mr. E.
Yeah.
I think he just writes in that with that methodology. Like,
right.
Very, like he's a good editor.
Like, no excess words. Like, no.
Yeah. And same with guitar and like the parts too. Like, they're all pretty stripped down.
Yeah.
But like each part that's there is very essential.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last... I saw them, I guess it was last year now, but their last tour was called Hurricane Lockdown.
Yeah.
And like, it was when the hurricane hit and then the pandemic hit.
Okay.
And then years happened.
Yeah.
And then they relaunched it.
Yeah.
But they were all dressed up in like leisure suits, like kind of how like an old talk show band would look. Mm-hmm. And they're all old now too, which is funny, like, because
right,
they all have gray hair and, like, you know, are singing the same songs they were singing when they
were younger. Over time kind of get less serious in a way?
No, the opposite.
Okay.
I think.
So it's like they can be serious on one song and then, like, sort of like right about Saturday or Sunday morning on another song on the same album.
Oh, absolutely.
But over time, they've actually gotten sadder. Like,
they've gotten more loose.
More, okay, got it.
Like, I think there was a lot of, and there's some, like, research I could do on this too, but, like, I think Mr. E especially was, like, very divisive in the studio. Like, if something wasn't right, they would do it, like, 20 times.
Okay. Know? Like, one of those perfectionist things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's still an element to him that way, but the stuff they're writing now is, like, way more, like, open and...
Okay, yeah.
Like I said, just more rock vibes.
Maybe less methodically, like, processed thoroughly. Yeah. Again, yeah, I know what you mean.
But he has that element to him.
Right.
Like, I think that comes from his, like, science dad background. Like,
Got it.
There is an element of perfectionism to it.
Well, I like the lyrics, how they're written, and just strictly, like, as someone who's been an editor for a publication, like, the first thing I think of when I hear those lyrics, just beyond the content of them, is like, wow, there's nothing to remove. Like, an editor's job is always just to remove excess crap, because inches on page is so important. Mm-hmm. But you can't, it's perfectly efficient, so it's very impressive.
Yeah, it would be a good exercise to just go through and read all of his songs, because, like, from that era to, like, the Novocaine for the Soul era, there was, like, another record, Electroshock Blues.
Yeah.
And he has a song on there that's really good and catchy, but it's about, like, his sister had died, and, like, it was about her ghost revisiting him.
Yeah.
But the way the song is written, you're kind of just in this, like, story where you don't really realize that's what it's about, but it clearly is about that when you read it on paper.
Got it, yeah.
So he has that quality to him where, like, he can just kind of get something on paper and then transform it into, like, a really fun melodic thing. Because, like, people sing along to Novocaine for the Soul.
Yeah, I see.
Like a bop, you know.
And I noticed the rhymes, I'm assuming that's a constant feature of his writing.
Yeah, now that you mention it, like, I think...
Yeah, do another snippet, because those are...
Yeah, I mean, I think he rhymes a lot of his songs. Yeah. I don't know if they all rhyme, though.
Got it. There could be,
like, I think that has some exceptions to it.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, literally, like I said, Novocaine for the Soul, there's, like, 1, 2, 3 choruses, and then 2 verses and a break. Like, it's not a long song. Like,
got it, yeah.
But the instrumental part of it also plays into it, because, like, the guitar, and it's really warbly and spooky sounding.
Okay.
Like, it's almost as if, like, someone is jonesing for Novocaine in the song.
Yeah.
And, like, another powerful, like, stanza, like, there's the Life is Hard one, which is, like, the strong intro.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 3 stanzas like that. The second one's Life is White and I Am Black. Jesus and His Lawyer Are Coming Back.
Right. So these, like, are, like, billboardable, like.
Yeah. It's almost
full
stop. You don't really need much more.
Right.
Gets a powerful message across.
Yeah.
And then the third one like that, there's a break one that's, like, a little different. But the third one like that is Life is Good and I Feel Great because Mother Says I Was a Great Mistake. So it's like.
Yeah. Like, you laugh because they're clever, but then they're sad because they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think these in that song in particular rhyme a little bit more to make it sound kind of more cheeky.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of like that British humor thing of, like, it's even sillier, written more silly to be more impactful.
I got it, yeah.
Because if you don't laugh at that, then it's like, wow. Like, it just reminds me of, like, that 90s style of humor, too, where it's, like, super heavy stuff, but it's all very, like, tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, there's a Nickelodeon-ness to it, I think. Yeah. To be, like, completely obtuse and say something like that. But, like, there's a, not childish, but, like, it plays in both worlds, right?
Yeah.
It's at the same time, it is humorous or clever, but also deep and dark and sad.
And I think a lot of bands of that time had that quality, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Nirvana had that quality.
Yes.
A lot of their songs.
And it's not easy to do right.
No.
It might be easy to do in theory, but to really nail that balance and do 2 things almost simultaneously, I think, is
Yeah.
Lyrically quite difficult.
Yeah. And like I said, the later stuff goes more into like the Saturday morning type vibe where like there was a record called Hombre Lobo, Wolfman. And like there's just one song where it's just like half howling. Like he's just howling for half of it. But it's a really fun song. Like it's a cool rock song.
Got it.
And he's had like the same lead guitarist, I think, the entire time. Drummer's been there the entire time. Okay. I think the bassist has been too.
So it's the one a long-standing band.
Yeah, I mean they're all, they're like 30-year-old friends at least. Yeah. And there's other people who come into play too at times, but like they just all know each other's rhythms really well. So the songs are always really tight.
Where did you see them when you saw them last year?
Metro.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. They played the same night Fall Out Boy did.
Really?
Yeah. Fall Out Boy was playing at Wrigley.
I was not
and they were playing at Metro.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a funny like dichotomy of people.
Who's where?
Well, the whole street, like I've never seen Wrigleyville like this, but it was just like painted in emo grown emo kids.
Yeah.
So like there were 30 and 40 year old people with emo hair. And then there was like five people outside the Eels show.
And I love, I think it's because we're getting older, but, and so is the music we like, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's surprising to see trends carry forward, but our bodies and our minds age.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like some things just don't change, like dyed hair. And...
I mean, it was definitely present that night. Yeah. Like I said, like, I remember leaving that show and then Fall Out Boy was playing late.
Okay.
And I just heard like their hits on the way back to the train.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is like really old stuff now, like 20-year-old stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Has it been 20 years? Is that right? Or is it more like 15?
Since when? 90s?
Since the Fall Out Boy hits. Like,
oh, it's probably been 20 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be longer.
Yeah.
That was early 2000s, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was popular when I was in high school too, yeah. I guess.
So 20 years is caught.
Yeah. Right. And they're Chicago stands too. So I'm sure a Fall Out Boy concert here is more popular than a lot of places.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They are international stars.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also is funny to see like the Eels doing something still alongside them. And like the people who were there, was a great show. Like they had a good time. We had a good time.
Mm.
But it's just a different vibe, I guess.
Yeah, like they're older. We're just older.
Yeah.
Like I guess you're comparing the vibe to like back then, right?
No,
like
I'm just
seeing them back then, or like
I guess I'm comparing the vibe to like hundreds of thousands of people being at the Fall Out Boy show.
Got it.
And
got
like
it.
A couple hundred at the Eels show. When like at the time they were both on MTV.
I see.
You know.
And, interesting, yeah.
And yeah, they're I think the Eels guys are a little bit older than the Fall Out Boy people.
Yeah.
But they're still relevant. Like one of their new music videos had John Hamm in it. Like it was pretty much just starring him.
That's cool. Yeah. Interesting. I had no clue. I think I wanted to ask, like, is the music that you said they came out with an album last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A new one.
Lyrically, it's still like nothing's really changed about the efficiency and the, I guess, the style, right? You said the music is
opened. The style always changes a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing about like the kind of smart lyrics.
The clever. And,
like, quick quips.
Quick and clever.
Yeah.
That's good. I think that's the style that like enhances a band like this. It has to be.
Yeah. It's like and it's pretty timeless too. Like
it's cool.
But I mean, he can write, you know, heartbreakers and like I said, there were some shows and there were some songs and shows and movies, kind of like the Novocaine for the Soul song where it's like about something specific and kind of heart-wrenching.
Got it.
I think it probably still has that indie quality to it where it's like, oh, it's an indie band in a movie or whatever.
Okay.
Like I think Spoon has that quality too where like a lot of people have heard Spoon songs but they don't know who Spoon is.
Yeah. It's one of those bands.
Yeah, because like they have a bunch of songs that have been distributed in shows and stuff, but
it's where the music is shown out of context of the artist, meaning like someone hears the song in a commercial or TV or wherever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not think it's not in a way where you're supposed to think about the music, like who wrote that. It's more like the music is serving something else. Well, there's bands like that who seem to write music that falls into that space easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
Fly
is.
Like an Eagle, like for the USPS, like.
Oh, well. I mean, that was a huge song at the time.
Yeah, a huge song, but then it was a USPS commercial.
Yeah.
And it fit perfectly.
Yeah, there's something to be said about writing music that fits well into that space, but also is something you didn't write for that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I found it interesting. But yeah. Lyrically, like it checks out. It like, I'm sure if you dig into it and just all the albums, you can just find like stanza after stanza of just bangers. I'm like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
There's tons of singles too. Like when I look back at it, I'm surprised they've never done a greatest hits record. I mean, they probably would be opposed to that, but yeah, there's just a lot of singles that were like on the radio play for a long time or in shows.
Mm. What's his vocal performance like? Is it?
He kind of has, it's kind of a rock quality of voice, but it's like raspy old man voice is like the best way to describe it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I can sing that way if I have to, but it hurts my voice to do it.
There's always a method to projecting your voice correctly as to not hurt yourself.
Well, I'm not sure if he follows that method or not, but
some don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's funny to me too. Like quality of voice and how people get popular that way. Like I never in a million years would have guessed The National would be a popular band because it's just monotone, low, like droning, sad songs.
Right, I think.
But they're a household name now.
I mean, you could write the greatest lyrics and be the worst singer, and we know exactly what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But, and still be great. Like, legendary great.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Dylan is probably the most famous for that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Tom Waits is who I thought you were talking about, though.
No. Bob Dylan. Like, you know, divisive singing sound. Like, the way he sings kind of rubs some people's ears the wrong way. But that, most people agree that the songs are written and the lyrics are written so well.
Yeah. And seeing him fail, like doing electric songs and people hating him.
Every great fails. And I think the true greats, they must have the greatest failures to be the true greats.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't fail himself. The songs are great songs still. But that first performance at, you know, the folk festival, he got booed off stage, you know, and people were trying, like, hated it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those people were wrong, clearly. Yeah.
Well, the verse is true, too, for, like, you know, you might be a terrible lyricist and not write anything great, but you could have the greatest voice in the world. You just sing other people's lyrics.
Yeah, I do wonder if there's, like, something to say about, is it better to have a killer voice and let people do the work behind you, or is it better to be an awesome songwriter and musician but not have the chops for like vocals or, you know, compositions maybe.
I think it's a great question, but it's also impossible to answer.
Yeah. I mean, you see it sometimes with like how the best pop singers don't write a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some would take issue with that. Like
some do. Some do write their songs, some don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, like I mean even musical parts, like I was listening to a video the other day. The Toxic, the Britney Spears song.
Okay, yeah.
And all the backing vocals or the backing tracks and everything were written by all these different people.
Right.
And like the bass line for that song is really interesting because it sounds like a bass synth.
Okay.
But it's a bass with some sort of affected sound that makes it sound like a synth. Okay. And there's this, you know, studio bassist who wrote that whole part.
But it's like a person playing as opposed to just programmed.
Yeah, well, and they came up with the whole composition. It's a really weird, interesting composition for bass on a song like that. But there's tons of superheroes like that who do that work all the time.
Yeah, it's not, if you do it, it won't rule you out.
No,
necessarily, yeah.
I mean, best case scenario, it makes you a famous session musician.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I guess people get hyper-focused on Do people get hyper-focused on lyrics and vocal performance? I think in most cases, yes.
Like, I think people like to be able to sing along to songs.
Yes.
So I think they focus on that.
It's the hookiest element. It's the closest relatable sound because it's the sound of a human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do find myself drawn to like unique vocals.
My specialty.
Yeah. It just, I mean,
something that is, I mean, Tom Waits is different.
Yeah, and if it fits your musicality, like Tom Waits' vocals fit his tracks.
Exactly, know? It makes sense for what he's doing and what he's saying.
Glenn Hansard is one, too. Do you know him? Like,
no.
He did, like, the music for Once, that movie that was popular. His former band was called The Frames. But he also plays really interestingly, too, like guitar. So his pairing, I couldn't see it any other way. Mm-hmm. But then you have, on the other hand, like a band like Belle and Sebastian, where they're very vocal forward, but they kind of pull from like funk and disco for their tracks and have a lot of different kind of backing. But so I could see those disjointed, like they could probably have different backing and sound fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter either way. I mean, if people focus on the vocals or they don't, like if you get that out of music, that's great. Mm-hmm. But I think vocals obviously very important. Lyrics then fall somewhere in line. I don't think lyrics are all the time, or even most of the time, like the most important thing about a song, at least as people think about them, regular people think about them.
Yeah. I mean, I like having lyrics that I can dig into.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's why I like the Eels so much, just because they have a good way with words.
Mm-hmm.
They know what their songs are and they can lean into that dichotomy of like seriousness and playfulness at the same time.
Yeah, they found an artistic edge. They found like how Dr. Seuss found an edge.
Yeah.
Like a way of communicating that seems so easy. Until you realize when you try to do it consistently and creatively, it's actually not easy.
Yeah.
It's or if you try the hardest
to do it,
way.
Do it from scratch. It's how come up with a
fresh idea. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that about the way those lyrics sounded, is that they just, you know, they're everything. I don't know. They're playful, but also really sad.
Yeah.
And fucked up. So
yeah, that kind of sums it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Juicy. The Eels.
Juicy stuff.
Juicy Eels.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of all I got.
I like it. That's good. We learned something. I learned something. I experienced a cool way of writing lyrics.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I hope to apply this to my own lyric writing.
There you go. And you can too.
Hey man, what you doing by myself? If I'm Teddy Wapo, I say, hey man, what you doing by myself? It's Nats. I say, hey man, what you doing by myself? A big fatty Teddy Wapo, I say, hey man, what you doing by myself? It's Nats.